Hello and welcome back. This is the podcast entitled Let's Talk About Conflict. And I am your host, Lynn Nash, an attorney mediator in the lovely city of Dallas, Texas. I want to visit with you today about something that I have named the White Knuckle Syndrome. Oh, yes. White Knuckle Syndrome. And in essence, the White Knuckle Syndrome is the act of holding on to something too tightly for too long. Let me say that again. White Knuckle Syndrome, it is the act of holding on to something too tightly for too long. So the first example I can give you would be the physical act of like carrying a heavy bucket. God forbid you be mopping, but hey, we all do it. So you've got that heavy bucket full of water and you're holding it by the handle and you finally get to where you're going to set that bucket down. If you look down at your fingers and your hand, your knuckles are going to be all white and your hands are going to turn red. And that's the physical act of what I kind of refer back to on some other things is white knuckle syndrome. So the other thing is like, if you just put your hands, if you're listening to this, take your hands and put them into fist and just hold your fists together for a while and look down. It doesn't matter what color you came in on the outside, your knuckles are going to turn white. And it's because you're squeezing so tightly in your hands. You're just holding on to something that your knuckles turn white. So when we carry things too tightly and too long, our knuckles turn white. Sometimes it's because it's heavy, and sometimes it's because we just don't want to let go. And that is what I have lovingly nicknamed the White Knuckle Syndrome. Now, why are we talking about the White Knuckle Syndrome, Lynn? Because I suffer from it a lot. And I think a lot of folks suffer from it a lot if they can consciously recognize that they are squeezing and holding on to something, causing them some conflict or avoiding some conflict, but they're causing their own conflict in a different way. And so white knuckle syndrome, when we choose to avoid conflict, it's really likely we don't just let the conflict go. We're not, I mean, you know, Buddhists are really good at this. They kind of get thin and they just channel it away. I don't think most people are really good at it. I'm certainly not. I'm ever a work in progress. But when we really choose to avoid conflict, it doesn't just go away. Instead, it's really likely that we're just pointing that conflict at ourselves and making it an internal conflict, and we're just going to keep going, white knuckles and all, right? And so if you're listening to this and you've made that fist, if you're still holding that fist or you come back and make that fist again, it really is taxing. It kind of wears you out after a while. I also think white knuckle syndrome for myself is me being unwilling to let go of a mistake or maybe a situation that didn't go the way I thought it would. Sometimes I find myself just believing if I hold on to this and work on it a little bit longer, if I hold on to that difficult moment, I can figure out why it didn't go the right way. Or I can just chew on this a little bit longer and figure out what the threads I should have pulled. And sometimes I call this my hamster wheel, you know, as if the little hamster in my brain is just in there running its little legs off, just running in circles on the wheel. It's not going anywhere. It's certainly not moving forward and it's not solving anything, but it's spinning. So that white knuckle syndrome, that sensation of being on the hamster wheel and you're just spinning, spinning, spinning. There's nothing about that that is not your own conflict. And, you know, if you can name it, you can start working on it. So I give you the phrase white knuckle syndrome. It is something I work on in myself and something that I hope you will think about as you see yourself kind of going down these paths or you feel like you're holding on to that thing you need to let go of so that you're not pointing back at yourself and creating your own internal conflicts. I mentor a lot of undergrad students and law students. So for those law students and undergrad students who are listening to this podcast, shout out to you. You know who you are. And I make time for you because I really do care. And so just know it's really true. I adore all of you. And I've thought a lot about why I do that process. And for me, in a lot of ways, I mentor because I feel like it helps me too. I feel like the mentoring in a lot of ways helps me take that fifth that I'm holding on to and release some of the tension because I'm listening to them and their tension and trying to help them understand why they're building their own conflicts. I mean, it's kind of putting a mirror up to myself, I have to admit. And so I think a lot about the old adage about when you point your finger at someone else, there are three, your pointing finger goes forward and three fingers immediately go back. So every time you're pointing at someone else, there's probably three things you ought to be thinking about that you need to be working on or that you need to address before you start pointing your finger at someone else. So I believe mentoring is my way of looking at what I am still focusing on back at myself. Am I being kind to myself when mistakes happen? Do I still focus on not knowing what's going on? Do I have enough faith in myself not to sabotage an upcoming situation? Should I commit to a new project or should I recommend it to someone else? These are just really common lines of thinking that I see in law students and I see in undergrads, and I really recognize them in myself as well. If I do this, then this might happen. Or if I don't do this, then what am I going to miss out on? And I don't even know enough sometimes to know what that might be. So I know I have white knuckles a whole lot. But for me, I found that mentoring helps me let go of some of those past things that I've already gone through. And I've afflicted them with myself and I've had to make my peace and I've had to get on with it. And so those pointer finger first, but three coming back, I've answered some of them sometimes. So when I go into a mentoring session with a student, I can say, yeah, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, okay, here's some situations I've heard of from other people. Here's some from my own life. Here's your worst case scenarios. And I think it makes a real difference when you can personalize that for someone. I think it makes a real difference for me to help start releasing some of that hamster wheel white knuckling where I'm just building my own conflicts for no good reason. They say that if you can teach something, then you have mastered it. And therefore, you can no longer be an imposter, right? Imposter syndrome, people, huge shout out by people. That sensation of, am I ever smart enough? Do I ever know enough? Can I ever really be everything somebody needs me to be? Imposter syndrome is really real, and it is really tough to move through. Yet, it is something you have to work on. And it is part of imposter syndrome is holding on to a lot of negative thought, and it's white knuckling that whole thing. It's building the conflicts within yourself. And so I work on this daily. I am by no means really doing a great job at everything here, but I'm making effort and I'm aware of it, right? You can't fix it until you're aware of it. And so for me, mentoring students really helps me. It really helps me see how far I've come in my own life and the choices that I've made and the results that have come from those choices. And in good, bad, or indifferent, it's really good to have the time to look backwards and observe what came out of my decisions. And when you're mentoring students and you're talking them through situations they're trying to make plans around, I think it really helps the student as well. I know it helps me, but I really hope it helps them. And frankly, I guess you'd have to ask them. I know some of them are listening to this podcast and probably snickering right now. So you guys can just go ahead and tell me next time you see me if you think I've lost it. But I don't really want to make too long and drawn out an event. But today, I really just want to give you an encouragement to look down at your hands every now and then and see if your knuckles are turning white. Because if they are, you need to look for a way that you can let go and you can grow. Internal conflicts, they're just no one's friends. They're no one's friends. But they are really here to help us learn and grow if we channel them correctly. So we're all going to take those hands, fake those fists, and then let go. And remember how good the feeling of letting go actually is. That the letting go needs to come after you've processed and reflected and taken something away from the experience. So white knuckle syndrome, imposter syndrome, all the real stuff we're out there dealing with. But you too can work on this. And I hope you find it to be a technique that gives you a little power in understanding what you're doing to yourself. So with that, that's all I have for you today. Let us hear from you. We're on Instagram with Let's Talk About Conflict. We have a website with the same name, and you can send us an email at info@letstalkaboutconflict.com. I have a few more people coming to visit with us in the next few weeks, and we'll keep working on ourselves together and how to be good at dealing with conflict as it comes and of not be a conflict avoider. We're not going to be conflict avoiders. And so with that, we will see you down the road.